This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Knowing is Knowing. I'm your host, Rashad Young, and as always, I appreciate you guys tuning in. As we wrap up the new year, I wanted to honor the guests that have joined this year. Thank you for all the time, stories, and information that have came with that. And my next guest is Teswan Smith, who is an author. Her book is called Bear It All, which is out now. This was truly a great and inspirational conversation. So, for those who are always interested in being a writer, not thinking that your story has meaning, it all does. No matter what you have going on in life, Teswan's story is a reminder that we all have a story to tell. Our information will be in the episode description. Make sure to check it out. Teswan, again, thank you so much for joining. And as always, make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast, the favorite audio platform. I appreciate you guys. Have an amazing new year. Yes, thank you so much for joining for this episode. I really appreciate it. I'm always excited to connect with people, learn more about their stories. Essentially what this podcast is a way to humanize us as people and to connect stories, not only what they do, but who they are. So the first question that I like to ask all my guests is, who are you to the world?
Yes, who am I to the world? A sister, a daughter to my world, right? And I'm also a published author, so that's who I'm.
So let's get into this journey of being an author. What got you into writing? Was it something that you knew growing up, like you was a writer? Like, how do we get to being a published author? Like, what's the route?
So for me, when I was a young girl, I always used to write. Like, I used to have a journal, and I would write haikus and be journaling or noting in class. And my mother is also a published author. Uh-huh. So I would say that watching her in her journey, how she coped with the loss of my stepfather, was her way of, you know, providing a means for us, but also a way for her to get her story out, to remember him by. And so I think for me, I took that stepping stone for my mother to, you know, find an outlet for myself. And I went back to writing. And then I decided, well, let me turn what I have here into a book. So that's what I did.
Okay, well, tell me more about the book. What's the title? What it's about? Type of genre, is it fiction, nonfiction?
Yeah, so it's an urban fiction novel. It's called Bear It All. The cover right here, this is my baby.
Love it.
But it's about a woman's journey to motherhood. And, you know, women these days, nowadays, you know, we have to decide on whether or not are we going to pursue motherhood, or are we going to just pursue our dreams, our goals, our aspirations. And sometimes when you're faced with that decision, it's not an easy one to make.
Right.
And every mother's journey is different. And for me, I wanted to leave a piece of myself for my son whenever, you know, the time comes, because we know life and death, you know, is a part of life. But I wanted to leave behind a nugget so that my son could look back and say, when he asks the question, who's my mother? Well, you have a piece, you have something that you can hold, something that you can refer to. And so, yeah, that's Bear It All. It's a journey to motherhood, and, you know, that's an outlet.
Yeah. So, it's good. Hey, look, I get it. Let me ask you, is this your first one ever? Like, have you done one before?
No, I've done about 3 podcasts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nerves is a natural thing. I think you're selling yourself. So, like, from an author to an author, because I write books too, is I don't never really talk about me writing books. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really do that. It's weird sometimes to, like, tell people about, this is what I wrote about, and this is why you should buy it. You know, selling yourself is a interesting thing. And also, I'm sure, I could be wrong, but the book itself is a very touching thing because of your experience. You're a mother, right?
Yeah.
I would assume that. So that's not nothing bad. I guess my question is, now it's like, with writing this book, or in the process of writing this book, like, what was the biggest thing you learned in your experience with it?
The biggest thing I learned was my ability to create. Like I said, I put it down for a while, right? And to say, yes, my mother wrote a book, but to say I'm going to take on that journey as well, and then also to be a self-published author, I didn't go through a publishing house. I did it all myself. So it was the background of it, the logistics of it, everything was so new. And so that was my biggest takeaway for myself, is to be like, you know, you can take on big tasks. You can take on obstacles that you know nothing about and be successful in it. You just have to believe in yourself.
Yeah. So what would you say the one thing that motherhood has taught you as a person?
Oh my gosh.
See, I struck a chord. That's good.
So much. Patience. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a woman's first thing. Like, selflessness.
Mm-hmm.
And the power of unconditional love.
Tell me more.
About the power of unconditional love?
Yeah, I'm curious from your perspective.
Yeah. So when you love somebody, you're willing to put your, like, unconditionally, you're willing to go through things, situations that most people wouldn't, especially if you're prideful or if you're getting out of ego, right? And that takes practice. That takes understanding your intentionality behind that. And unconditional love is the driving force. So say if, you know, you were in a toxic relationship before, but you know the importance of a father in a son's life. So there's that way, that process that you have to go through of establishing boundaries, but yet also making sure that your son or your daughter or your child, they get what they need from both parents. And it's so easy to be the person that's like, no, it's just about me. This is what I want. This is what I need. Sure. But when you're thinking about further down the line, when your son or your daughter comes back to you and they ask, well, what about my father? You know, do you want them to already have an established relationship, one that you don't have to carry the weight of answering that question? Or, you know, do you choose that? Do you choose to deal with the consequences of that? So unconditional love can be the driving force to just make sure that you don't pass down a generational trauma that you might have experienced yourself.
Yeah, which is always a hard thing to do. I mean, so many of us, we unconsciously pass it down, I would like to say. So I guess one more context about me, if you don't know. So I'm actually finishing up to be a therapist, like a licensed therapist. Got some time, but so I do talk to a lot of clients. Thank you. I talk to a lot of clients, especially women who are mothers. And that's like the biggest thing. I think you mentioned in the beginning, that balance between, you know, doing what they love to do, finding their passion, but also being able to take care of their kids and be present, especially those unfortunate, like they're in the situations where they're single mothers. Sometimes it's by choice. Sometimes it's just by the choice of a man wanting to be absent. But still, the pressure of a mother, I will never take away because I know how hard it is and daunting it can be in that space. And you don't mind me asking, you have a son or a daughter?
I have a son.
You have a son. Okay, yeah. So that's a whole different lane. Can I ask how old he is? You don't mind me asking?
Yeah, no, I don't mind. He's 2. He'll be 3 next month.
Lord, so like terrible threes. All right, yeah. So.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Lord.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I can imagine the path of watching somebody that you carried for 9 months now be a 3-year-old individual with thoughts and emotions, and 3 turns to 6, and 6 turns to 12, when especially a boy, his quest of finding himself looks a lot different than a daughter. And so, like, I am my mother's only son. And watching photos of me growing up, even though we're very close. But then there's like this point that I don't know every mother is like fully prepared for, where that young boy is like, man, now mama, like I gotta figure it out. Right. So it's, I don't know where I was going with this, but I just think it's one of those things where it's just, it happens, but it's beauty to see the maturation, but also like, I know that there's nobody who will love me as much as my mother because of unconditional love. And so when I found myself thinking I had found somebody that will love me as much as my mother, I have been mistakenly wrong every time. But it's something to remember, though, because it's nothing like a mother's love. That's why I run so deep. And that's why usually boys are mama's boys. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the first woman that they connect with. And loves them in such a way. And you guys are usually the safety nets, or are supposed to be the safety nets, the guy that's, you know, the nurturers. So as young boys get older, they're trying to find that in somebody else. And it's hard, man. It's so hard. You can never find somebody that's like your mom. You can find people close, but it's never going to be the same. So I don't know where I was going with that, but I just thought I had to say that. But I do work with I work with young adolescents, but I also work with a lot of males in particular. So it's always a common conversation that we have. It's like, how do I detach myself from mom? And I'm just kind of like, you shouldn't want to do that. But like, if your mom is still alive and she loves you, like, just let it be. Because you'll never get that love again. You won't. You won't. It'll never be the same. So.
Yeah.
All right, that's me ranting my best about you. Okay, so.
No, this is perfect.
So this book is fiction, right?
Yes, it is. That's so, yes, it is. But it is
urban
a true events.
Okay. And I'm assuming the true events is you or people around you.
It's me.
Okay. Gotta ask. Look, to see.
I'm from the book of Tess Swan. I can only write.
You mentioned having, you know, you say you put it down for a second. I think that anybody who writes a book, Writer's block is a real thing. What made you pick it back up?
I knew my why. I was concrete on my why. And they say, you know, you got to know your reason behind something because that's going to drive you to get it done.
100%.
And that was it.
Just finishing the story. And so when I'm sure people have read it, have people felt moved by it? Have they felt inspired by the work? Is there anything that they've told you that's encouraging moving forward? Do you want to write another book or just like one and done thing?
It's definitely not a one and done thing. I am going to write another book. This will likely have a sequel. But as far as the reaction to the book, so when I released the book, I had a breakfast brunch and I had friends who didn't, you know, pre-order the book. They came and I had one particular friend who is a mother. She has a daughter and she has sons. But she read the book in like 3 days. And she like, oh my gosh, Tess, like, this is so good. It talks about the relationship between a man and his mother and how to introduce a woman into his life and the relationship between, you know, stepchildren or how when blended families or when a pre-established family is trying to integrate someone new in and, you know, what that can look like, because it's not always so smooth, right? You have, you know, people's roles and it's like, how do you integrate it? Because that can be a little bit rocky when there's a lack of respect or there's that territorial component that happens. And so really, you know, Black folk were raised on, you know, what goes on in this house stays in this house, right? And it's like, how do we start? And I feel like with the change of the times and as we all are able to self-reflect and identify the traumas that we've experienced, it's important to now have those conversations so those generational curses or those generational traumas don't keep perpetuating themselves into the later generations. And, you know, but we have to be able to stop it first with self.
Sure.
So she told me, she was like, Tess, this is such a good book. It's needed now. And it's a real big support for women, right? Because there's so much content being created around, you know, a woman's worth or, you know, what a woman brings to the table and how people need to approach relationships or dating right now. And it's difficult. And I think, you know, Bear It All is a good moment for a woman to just sit back and reflect and make sure that she is rooted in her self-worth. So that way she doesn't fall victim to narcissistic abuse or domestic violence or emotional abuse. So it touches a lot. Bear It All touches a lot. And I'm really proud of what I created.
I can tell. I see the smile on your face. That's good. I mean, you're supposed to be proud of the work that you do. I mean, again, a lot of topics that you're touching on, I mean, they are real. I mean, the dating world itself, at least what I've heard and what I listen to on a daily basis, especially for a woman, it's very treacherous. It's treacherous on both sides, but I really do feel for women in the regards of finding something meaningful, I would say. There's more great women than there are great guys. Just, we gotta call it what it is. So for every great one guy, there's like 15 good women. Y'all can't have this one guy. And so as men, we gotta hold ourselves better to a standard to do more and be more uplifting. And that's always a conversation that I have with people about that, because it's not just all y'all fault. Like, you know, I honestly hate relationship content to an extent because it has become very divisive, but some things are just facts. I just don't like the projecting, in a sense, if that makes sense, because people do have a bad experience and then they kind of generalize. Like, you had two or three men that you dated that were no good. Does not mean all men are no good. My argument always, especially with my clients in particular who have this conversation, is what type of man are you dating?
Right.
And it gets into a realization of your type is usually a physical profile. That's not a character profile.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Like, we got to ask ourselves, like, the real questions. Like, are you dating a man of the things that you're looking for? Or are you only looking at the aesthetic of who he is? Two different things.
Very, very different things.
So, you know, I'm not, and that's, again, that conversation goes to so many different layers because, you know, it's a whole don't settle thing. And I hear all that. When I think it's great, again, the hard part is with that reality, though, is that there's a lot of great guys on the table who may not fit that 20% of the things that they're missing. Mm-hmm. So women are passing up when they're trying to find the other 20%. You're not going to find the other 20%. It's no different than a woman that's looking. It's no different than a man looking for a woman with that other 20%. You're not going to find it.
Right.
It's literally impossible.
Right.
There's nobody that's going to be 100% in anything that we bring. But if they fit 80 to 90% of the care.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Characteristics that you're looking for, and they treat you good.
Uh-huh.
You just search them for something that's just not real. And I think that's the hard part. Like, it's really hard for me to see that sometimes because we are in a space where, again, we have so many things that we can see because it looks good, but we don't recognize that it's just something to look at. We try to look at it and then try to take the cake too. Again, that's not realistic. Like, people will literally tell you to leave somebody that treats you good 9 times out of 10. Mm-hmm. To try to find that person 10 out of 10, it's not gonna happen.
Yes, and the biggest mistake you'll ever make.
Yeah, so it might not hit you right then and there, you know. But yeah, it's just I think this is not working with me today. I think this is recorded and not live. We gonna fix this. On the fly. Give me 1 second. This is why I do all the editing, because I can cut all that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, the biggest thing, again, it's just understanding, you know, what's important to you. But again, if your book is touching people in that way, that's good. There's so many other topics that you can touch on, and it's always important that more Black writers are doing something that's you know, meaningful, because we have stories to share. Have you ever seen American Fiction, the movie?
I don't think I have.
Came out 2 years ago. I think you should watch it.
Okay.
Who's in it? Who's in it that you may know is Tracy Ellis Ross.
Okay.
And Sterling K. Brown.
Okay.
You know, Sterling K. Brown. I just
but oh, Tracy Ellis Ross is it? So
you- yeah. So that alone, that should tell you. But it's a really good book. It's about a disgruntled writer trying to navigate into a new lane. He usually writes just like real deep type of writing, but it's not selling. And so Issa Rae actually plays a character where she writes like this. They label it as ghetto in the book, but it's like a bestseller. Like, everybody goes crazy about it. Like, everybody loves it. And he becomes this disgruntled writer with a fake alias that makes a similar book, ends up becoming an award winner, all this stuff. But it's a great book, though, because I think what I've learned, at least as a writer, especially with these stories, as you mentioned, urban fiction, sometimes people will glamorize the traumas that are centered around the Black experience. And that's kind of what the book, I mean, that's not the book, that's what the movie kind of, it's like hinting at. It's like, would you actually value me if I wrote like the main character and is own language and what works for him, or do I need to dumb myself down to make it relatable to masses? So it's a great movie. Again, that's something I think every writer should watch, though. Because it makes you think, like, you know, as you think about your next book, you know, how can you still reach people while also being authentic to yourself?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Of course. I get it. You know, it's a process. And so for somebody who's never written a book, what would you say are some tips to helping them become successful in that self-publishing process?
Absolutely. I actually do a monthly webinar on this. But what I would tell them is to identify a genre, identify your audience, and then start creating your synopsis, you know, what you want to talk about, and then go from there, fill in what you need to fill in. Writer's block is definitely a thing. So take your time, but give yourself deadlines. And go for it and allow your heart to speak. And then decide on whether or not you want to go self-publish or publishing house. I believe self-publishing is the best way as a first-time author to really get yourself out there, because you control your movement. You control your marketing. You control the orders. Like, and then you really get a chance to connect with people directly. Like for me, I'm marketing my book. I'm, you know, getting on podcasts. I joined Book Profits Club. My book coach is Turia Vision Avant, who is a trailblazer in the book community. And those would be the steps that I would tell them to take, and then just go for it and don't stop until you get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. Oh, so you say do a monthly webinar?
I do.
Okay. And then people come in and get different tips and tools. I mean, I think that's always different ways to get the publicity out. What do you say is one good tip on selling the book? Obviously, writing it is one thing. Marketing, most self-publishers hate. Yeah. Even myself. That's what is the thing that you have done to maybe help navigate that a little bit better?
You said selling the book?
Yeah. Marketing, selling the book.
Marketing and selling is get on platforms. Podcasts is always a good way to, you know, talk about, you know, your book. Create your websites. You have to be on multiple sites. So you got to do your marketing on Instagram. It is so tedious. It's going to get on your nerves. Like, I don't like social media. But we have to use it for what it's created for. But it is so annoying to me. But it can be fun too. But really just putting yourself out there, because if you create something that you're passionate about, if you create something that you love, it would behoove you to not push it, get it into people's faces, create moments so that people can put eyes on your book and connect with you and then purchase. So I'm so grateful that you have this podcast, Knowing is Knowing, because when I read the website, it pulled me in, because I was like, well, that kind of taps into, you know, why I wrote my book. I knew that there were so many women out there who are going to have the choice. Am I going to stay in this relationship or am I going to leave? Am I going to have this baby or am I going to choose to not have this baby? Am I going to love unconditionally or am I going to stay rooted in my trauma and be guarded? And to push past my personal differences and experiences, and to get to the finish line of it, I mean, being able to talk about it on platforms such as Knowing is Knowing, it is just... Oh.
What a pub. We pubbed it twice. That's great.
It is amazing. So I sell it. Get on platforms and sell your stuff.
I need to sell my stuff better than I guess. You pubbed it twice. I never talk about it. I mean, I guess I do because people met me off of Threads. That's cool. But yeah, I mean, again, the whole point of this, again, is part of it's me just talking sometimes, but I think the biggest thing is just helping people get that platform. I think that's the only way that we can really learn and grow as people. You know, like I said, I don't know y'all from a can of paint until we have this conversation. Yeah, I see y'all on social media. Other than that, I just kind of let it be. Because again, I know how important it is to have some sort of collaborative effort, especially creators, writers. We all kind of got to stick together. So if I'm one of the many stops along the way, that's fine. I just know, make it clear, you go on a book tour and you get big. Yeah, I don't see no percentage. You know what I'm saying? We might have a problem. I don't forget. I better get a percentage of stage on merch, something. I need to be there. But other than that, no, seriously, it's just, I just really enjoy the conversations of people's experiences and why they get into things. So I think that's cool. So I do have a final question for you, if you don't mind. This has been good. I see like you were nervous at one point and then it just got, we got there. We got better. Got in your bag. What does it mean to be human to you? One last question.
What does it mean to be human to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had this very beautiful, I want to call it an awakening because that's what people say. And I'm a regular person, right? I work a regular 9-to-5. But to be human is to know that you are a part of something greater. And when you come to that realization that it's so much bigger than me. And how you start connecting the dots through your journey to your purpose is very beautiful. And what I mean by that is they call it the Matrix, right? And yeah, we know about the movie, but the 9-to-5 that you get up at the same time every day, you do the same job, you come back, you have your daily routine. But what is that thing that for a moment takes you out of that hamster wheel? All right. And what is it that drives you to keep doing that or pursuing that? And I think once you start to realize, you know, your purpose, you kind of you get to know you better. Mm. You get to know, you know, your strengths, your weaknesses, and how to navigate those to turn those weaknesses into strengths and improve upon your strengths and make them, you know, broader. But to be human is to love unconditionally, love yourself, because if you don't love yourself first, you can't love anybody else. Stay consistent with your growing and your knowing and your learning.
That's an answer right there.
I feel like I ramble. I feel like I just be talking, but it's so heartfelt. It's me.
Yeah, I mean, you got to speak from the heart. I mean, that's, you know, your truest self is through those authentic moments. So, I mean, again, I think as you continue to do this, the things that you'll say, the gems that will be dropped, it'll get there. Like, you know, even in a short amount of time. You shared a lot, and I know it's probably a million bags that we could probably get into. It's all in the process. Everything's a process of what we do. And again, your first book, your second book, you may have a different outlook, may have a different topic. You may be in a different space. Then a third book, like I'm working on my third book now. My third book is a poetry book. Totally different.
Beautiful. Totally different.
Yeah, no, it's I'm very proud of it. I've been sitting on it for a long time, and then something recent happened and it just kind of sparked it back. So that's how I learned. But I also only can write poetry when I'm mad. So I should let you know something.
Well, you had to get there in order to bring this out. So
yeah, no, they brought out a madman. But I needed that though, because I think what I've learned is that, you know, as you mentioned, like you never know who's gonna relate to it. And I think sometimes I was afraid to kind of pull that because it is like a different side of me. I mean, I'm a very open and emotional guy, but like the vulnerability of what I share is some of these pieces, I don't think I ever would have just decided to put out. But I think that these are topics that can relate to anybody. If whenever it comes out, I'm not going to say too much, but whenever it comes out, it could be viewed as a man that is scarred, but also look at like as a man that's experienced things and also has learned from it and also understood himself in it. So yeah, and that's kind of the whole point. Like I really tried to curate it like an album. Like that's the best way I could put it. So I'm really excited like what that looks like in people's responses. But then anyways, like I had to learn to like the confidence in the writing. Because so many people sit with ideas, like you could have sat with your book idea forever and don't do anything about it. You know, people be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna write a book. 10 years go by, they ain't wrote a book, they ain't wrote a single page.
Put out 3 chapters.
Yeah. So if anything, you know, that tells you that you can do it again. The reason I'm just saying that to you, because that first, the second book is different. Because maybe at that point in time, you may not have anything to pull from.
Mm-hmm.
The first book is like raw. It's like, it's everything that you feel, and like it's intensity. Like, yeah, I got something. But like, if life is good, and you trying to do something else, at least for me, like the second one, it took a while in between because I wasn't going through anything. I just was like existing. And then when something else happened, I had something to kind of talk about. So yeah, it's just like, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is like, there isn't a pressure for a second book right away. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us, we like to have our own timelines, but you know, just kind of like learn yourself, learn your son.
What are the your book?
I'll tell you after this, but no, I can tell you now. But like the first one's called Be Formless. I wrote that my 30. Wrote that at 23. I was fresh out of college, like super depressed. I had nothing else to do. Mm-hmm. I was just like trying to find something, just trying to pull for something. And then the other one is called Renew, Finding Yourself Again. That came out the end of. It was 2023 in December. And then my new one is called, I can tell you what it's called, but it's called See You Soon. That's the name of the poetry book.
Wow.
So a little bit of context, I'm still rambling. Drake is my favorite artist. So it's like just putting it out there. I'm sorry. You know, anybody want to know who I am, who I rock with, it's the owl. But yeah, Take Care of Nothing with the Same is two of my favorite albums and views. So a lot of the sequencing came from that. It also came from Kendrick. I won't give him that much credit, but that's how you know where I stand. I'm loyal to a fault, man. But you know, I do pull from songs. Like that's like when I write, I am probably am listening to a song or I'm listening to a beat. And like I pull from songs. Like that's where my inspiration comes from. That's why it's hard for me to write when I'm happy. I have to be mad to write. And that's when I take the time. So if I know I'm mad, I got about 2 weeks. That's how long I'm going to be mad.
2 weeks? You got 14 days?
You got 14 days to get as much as I can, man. After that, because seriously, I finished it, like the writing part of it, maybe like 3 weeks. I don't know, about 3 weeks ago, something like that.
Okay.
And I wrote another piece I might put in there, but I don't know. Like the thing is though, like in that 2 weeks though, I got the second half of it done because I was so mad about a situation. And that's just how I handled it. And I just started putting it together. I was like, hey, that's kind of good. I think we might be done here. We might be done here. So yeah, it's just, yeah, I think that's what I want to put myself out there in that space. I've never performed poetry, so like now I'm in the process of like starting to record some of these pieces. Like I'm really trying to like put a lot of effort into it, even if it only if it sells 5 copies. Like I just want to really try the whole experience. Like say like I really tried to create something. So I'm not rushing myself, but I do want it out this year because I'm tired of looking at it at this point. And I'm kind of ready for the next thing. So. But anyways, more of the story. We can ramble on about that. And it's not about me, but I do appreciate you sharing your story, sharing about your book, connecting in a way that I think is authentic and true to yourself. So, since you're not a social media promoter, it's time to do it. Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on social media at Tesswana Moore. I also have a YouTube channel up that I'm not really promoting like that because I'm slowly putting content out there. But we have to get started somewhere. So, yes, you can find me on YouTube as well, Tesswana Moore. Still the same thing. And those are my two main platforms. Gonna do.
Okay. It will be in the episode description when this episode comes out. I'm gonna say Tess. I'm not gonna mess it up. Tess, I appreciate you joining. This is truly an amazing conversation. And anybody who's listening, make sure to subscribe to the pod on your favorite audio platform or on YouTube. As always, I appreciate you guys. Until next time, peace.